First great impression. Well, thank you so much for having me today. I call, as Pastor Dave said, that you are a member congregation of Interfaith Human Services. So I asked Pastor Dave if I could come and speak to you. So I just figured, you know, if you're a member congregation, that way you have a chance to learn a little bit more about interfaith, some of our programs, and also how you can get involved. So I think I'll just start by kind of telling you a little bit about our history and who we are. So Interfaith Human Services is I'm looking at the time, so I don't go over. Interfaith Human Services is a nonprofit organization that serves low-income families in Central County. The way this organization started was back in 1968, it was either 4 to 6 churches in the State College area realized that there was a need in the community for these low-income families. And what they did is they combined their resources together and started helping these families. Over the years, they started adding more programs and more congregations. We actually say congregations now because although it started as the State College Area Christian Mission, as different communities of faith joined, we ended up becoming an interfaith organization. So a few years ago, the name was known, and you may remember Interfaith Mission. That was what we're mostly known as. In 2011, we actually changed the name to Interfaith Human Services because sometimes when we said Interfaith Mission, people thought that we were going overseas and doing missions that way. So we thought, well, since we're a human services agency, let's just make it easy and call it Interfaith Human Services. So I told you about the kind of the first reason that Interfaith started was these congregations finding, looking for a need in the community. And that kind of helped them fulfill their mission of helping low income, some of the greatest needy people in the area. But there's also a second part of why Interfaith Human Services exists, and that is to lessen the burden of, we call them spiritual leaders in our congregations. So spiritual leader is just the general term we use, whether it's a pastor, rabbi, priest, bishop, that's just the name we use. Because a lot of our spiritual leaders, you know, especially when you think of some of the congregations around here, they get a new pastor every, you know, 4 to 6 years in some cases. So they're new to the community, or else they don't have a degree in social work. So when someone who might have a mental health crisis, who has a need, comes to the church asking for help, that person doesn't always necessarily, first of all, have the resources, or maybe isn't quite sure what to do. And the idea is that we can kind of be that that hub, so the congregational leaders and members can call us and say, hey, so-and-so really needs rent. What do I do? And then we are able to help them because, and if we can't help them, we actually have a very good relationship in the county with other nonprofit organizations. So we are constantly referring people back and forth. So that way we do make sure that that person gets the help they need. So today we are 32 congregations strong, and you are the newest one. So yeah, you're the newest member, which I'm really excited about. So I told you a little bit about the history. Let me just go into some of our programs, and then I'll also talk about how you can help as a member congregation. So first of all, one of our programs that we kind of started out with was the Emergency Assistance Program. So we do this, people who need emergency help with rent, new prescriptions, travel to out-of-town medical appointments, or utilities can call us. And there is always a criteria. We try not to just hand things out to people, but try to actually find a way to stabilize them. So for example, when they call for rent, we don't just hand them money. We have to make sure that that is truly their need. They have to show who they are, prove income guidelines. We have to, and then the money would also goes as a check to the landlord. So it's little things like that, so we make sure, and also if you get it one time, you can't just come back the next month for it. So we really are trying to make sure that people don't create a dependency. So that is really the first program that we started out with, and we kind of expanded to other programs. So one that we have, one of our biggest programs is that I'm trying to get the word out, is our financial care program. And that is a program where we actually provide one-on-one money management counseling to individuals. And also, in some cases, we have to manage the money for those people. Now, there's about 60 people in this program. And like I said, most of these people are low income. Some of them are also, they have a mental health diagnosis or an intellectual disability or some other medical condition that makes it very difficult for them to handle their money. So in this case, sometimes we actually act as their representative payee, or better known as a financial power of attorney. And we are actually licensed and bonded through the Social Security Administration to do this for people who are receiving Social Security benefits. And in the last fiscal year, we actually just finished our fiscal year June 30th, but I can always say that 100% of the people who go through this program have never been laid on a utility bill, have never been evicted due to an inability to pay a bill. And in addition to that, they also receive budget counseling, they create goals. Everything is to help them become more independent. And some of these people actually do graduate from the program. But of course, sometimes if they have if it's more of a serious intellectual disability, then they may stay in our program. And we also, we get referrals from different nonprofit organizations in the county for this program. Unfortunately, some of the from the people who are referred to us are cases where a family member has been taking care of the money or a friend that they thought was trustworthy, and they were being taken advantage of. So in many cases, they're referred to us to make sure that that doesn't happen. So that overall is our financial care program. And while I did say that a lot of these people are low income that we help, anybody can come to us with an issue with money management. It can be anyone, because as you probably know, financial education is not necessarily taught in the schools. I was never taught how to use a credit card or how important that was, and sometimes this knowledge is not passed along through the generations, and this is crucial information. So some people come to us, they didn't have the luxury of having that kind of education. We're able to help them. Another program that we have that you're probably pretty familiar with is the Center County Fuel Bank. This is it's emergency heating assistance to people, and this is also a crucial program because, as many of you probably know, being cold is no fun. I'm from Florida, so I absolutely hate the cold. I can't handle it. But it's also it's life-saving to have your place warm because, for one, you're safe, your children can stay with you, but also if the pipes freeze and you don't have any money, you're in big trouble. So this way, we're able to help. And last year, although, as you know, it was a pretty mild winter, we helped 230 people get emergency heating assistance. The year before that, it was actually over 400 because it was so the demand was so high for fuel. And in fact, that year, people were calling in so desperate for fuel that our employees could not make calls out of the office because the calls were coming in. So that is something that we do as well. So I'll touch on one more program. We do a couple other little things, but this is the main thing. We have a free furniture and recycled appliance program. So if you are, if your house burns down, don't want that to happen, or if you're low income and can't afford a furniture, we can actually provide it to you at no cost. And you might wonder, how do we get the furniture? Well, anyone can donate furniture to us. So if you have a bed or a dresser that you don't need, you can just call us and we'll take it from you. And we're able to give these out to people. We also have relationships in the community. The Days Inn in State College was upgrading some of their furniture and their beds, so they donated a bunch of things to us, which is able to help a lot of people. We have a coordinator who helps. This year, we helped over 350 families get free furniture. And furniture is actually incredibly important. I didn't even realize this, but if you don't have a proper table, a dining table, or a bed for your child, the county can actually take your children away from you. So it's actually very crucial that you have furniture in your home. And we've been able to help a lot of other organizations too. So the Women's Resource Center, when they have people who are leaving the shelter ready to start a new life, we've been able to provide furniture for them. Also Hearts for the Homeless, that's a local homeless organization, nonprofit, and there are four women who were moving into a home. They had no furniture, they had nothing but air mattresses. So we were able to give them a love seat, dining room furniture, table, beds, all the things they needed for a home. So we also help other organizations in the community. So I'm kind of flying through all that. I feel like it's hard to touch on all those organizations. But just really quickly, we are a United Way partner agency, which I always forget to mention, and that is where some of our funding comes from. The importance of our congregations is that every congregation sends a representative, or two or three or four. Usually it's one or two. From each congregation, they serve on our board, and they're the ones who really lead the organization. So one of the ways you can get involved is if you are interested in serving on this board, you know, please let me know or let Pastor Dave know. We'd love to have your input. That's very important. Another way our congregations support us is, of course, through financial and also volunteerism. Upcoming this holiday season, we have wishing wells, and we ring bells, kind of like the Salvation Army does, so we're a little bit of a competitor. But we have wishing wells in front of some businesses and ringing bells and getting money, and that has actually raised money to help us provide for the emergency program. And also, if you, our office, sometimes we actually don't have any secretaries or administrative assistants, so we have volunteers who answer the phones for us, so if you're interested in that. There's also some other things. Sometimes our furniture program, our coordinator needs help moving furniture. If you have any special skills like computer, marketing, or writing, I would absolutely love to talk to you, because I really, there's certain things with marketing and new brochures and things that I really need help with. And I'm sure there are about a dozen other things I could come up with. But even if you're just, if you have a slight interest in helping interfaith, come talk to me. I'll find a project for you. I will. So that's kind of just the overall about who we are. And if you have any questions after the service, please feel free to come talk to me. And thank you again so much for letting me take up some of your time this morning. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for being a member of congregation. So.
Thank you, Wendy. One thing on the furniture, this is how I came to know about the organization, because we were helping a family here in the valley, and they needed some furniture items, and we called IHS, and I went over and saw their warehouse, and I said, oh, this is some good stuff going on here, so let's figure out how we can collaborate and do some things together. And that's kind of how I got connected there and introduced to IHS. The other great thing about the furniture program is they will come to you and pick up your furniture. They have a truck that they go out with. We've actually had them here and gave them some things from the rental house when that changed occupancy. So, Wendy, I think you took my sermon notes. But I've really enjoyed working with Wendy as well. She's just got such a heart, compassionate heart for service, which is what we're all about here. Okay, Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. You get those pew Bibles out, if you would. It's on page 845. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care what my sister has left me to do, all this work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. The word of God for God's people. May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding of it this morning. Well, it's pretty clear from our scripture readings that today the subject is, or for this week anyway, is hospitality, being hospitable. And when I was down in Virginia, I know one of the big initiatives for at least the mainline churches the past few years has been an emphasis on hospitality, radical hospitality, or generous hospitality, practicing and living a life of generosity and kindness, welcoming others into our midst, especially those that might be different from us. And then one of the key ideas is that we need to be intentional in our efforts, seek opportunities to reflect God's love, plan events outside these four walls, like we did the meal packaging event last year, which drew members of our community in and helped assist people in other lands. Also, we reach out to those in our own community that are poor and oppressed and don't have some of the basic necessities of life, things that IHS helps with in so many ways. And while it may be difficult for us sometimes to see the fruit of our efforts, we are called to do these things anyway, for we are the beacons of hope in a broken world. We've heard some things from Wendy, of course, about interfaith. Wendy has shown us some of the things that we can do to participate on activities right here in Centre County. Now, this is what living a Christian life is really all about. Living our day-to-day lives in such a way that we make a difference in the lives of others. And while these things may not be reported on in the news, they do exist. And they serve to remind us that we are the people of hope. Well, our scripture readings this morning provide some biblical examples of hospitality, but I'd like to focus specifically on the story of Mary and Martha. Most of you are probably very familiar with this story. Jesus and his disciples have been traveling, and they pay a visit to Mary and Martha's home, and they are welcomed as guests into that home. And Martha, of course, busies herself with the practical aspects of having a guest, an unexpected visitor. So she rushes to pick up the dirty laundry. She dusts the living room. She sees what might be suitable to eat in the refrigerator, and she prepares a meal. Now, they didn't have refrigerators. I'm kidding about that part. But I wanted you to be able to see it yourself in this story, because isn't that what we do? Someone calls, says, I'll be right over, and we run around picking up the dirty laundry and seeing what we have for snack. But in all this, of course, we discover that there's something else brewing here between Mary and Martha. Mary, you see, is simply sitting and listening, and it's Martha that's doing all the work. So how well does that go over, you imagine? I promised our young ladies I'd have something to say about sisters. But I can guess that if you're anything like my brother and I, you don't always get along. Are there those times, perhaps, when we don't see eye to eye with our siblings? But it's Jesus' response that makes us wonder what it is he's saying. For he tells Martha that it's really only one thing, and Martha has chosen the better part. One thing. And that Mary has chosen the better part. So it's an interesting response, but what does this have to do with hospitality and being hospitable to others? Well, I think it helps to recognize that there are different aspects, there are different elements to being hospitable. Certainly, there's the busy part, the part where Martha is running around and getting things prepared for a meal. That's the active component of hospitality. And for those of you that have listened to my messages for any length of time, you know that I'm very big on being active in our faith. Let's get it done. Let's take action. Put your faith to work. But Luke's reminder to us today is that we must not overlook the second and really the most important part, which I'll call the contemplative part. To be contemplative is to be thoughtful, to thoughtfully observe and listen and reflect on what your guest is saying. In our story today, Mary represents the contemplative Christian. She chooses to sit at the feet of Jesus and listens as he teaches. Well, I think the message here for us is that action and contemplation are both important to us as representatives of Jesus Christ, or as hosts to others in this world that perhaps have not have that hope in their lives. But contemplation speaks to more, the more important part, because any action done in the name of Jesus Christ must flow from our heart. Any action done in the name of Jesus Christ must flow from our heart. To do otherwise is to busy ourselves in service to some other master. Material wealth, a desire for power perhaps, a desire for approval or acceptance, for prestige, position, or recognition. These are the things that often seduce us to become busy, but they are not what we are called to do. And this is why it becomes so important that we both be intentional and also prayerful as we go about our spiritual work. For we easily fall prey to the busyness part, don't we? It's so easy just to start doing it without even thinking about why we're doing it. Well, we need to do that. We need to stop and ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Is it for myself? Is it to gain someone else's admiration or approval? Or is it truly an offering? An offering that's made. Is it truly an offering, one that's made without expectation or a repayment or retribution of some sort? Or is it truly done on behalf of Jesus Christ as an offering, free offering? See, I think this is what God's revealed to me this week as the one thing that we need to be cautious about and serious about. Because it's real easy in our activities to become so caught up in the beautiful new painted church, in the sight and smell of a completely redone basement, in some of the other things that we do. We need to make sure we do them for the right reasons, for Jesus Christ and for his work in this world. Let us pray. Lord God, I just thank you so much that we are able to be here this morning to hear your word, to hear about a wonderful opportunity for service in this county and in our community. Lord, I thank you for all those that serve you through organizations like Interfaith Human Services and through some of the other things like the Hope Fund here in Penns Valley. Those things, Lord, that seek to serve you through action. And Lord, we pray too that our motivations will be pure and that these things will be done in honor of you and in our love for you, in our desire to share the word of Christ with others. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.